So here with Kate Cook, who I've just bumped into, who's doing and wearing Invisible Woman. Just tell us about the image of you're smoking a pipe on your T-shirt.
Yeah, that's because one of the major characters in the show is called Major Chumley Watsit. Invisible Woman falls in love with Major Chumley Watsit, and like all majors in the war, he does have a pipe, and he's very, very upper class, you know, and he's a good lad, he's a good man. And so the image is really a mixture of him and all the other characters, because I play 10 characters in the show. I play a Gestapo general, a 15-year-old child, a couple of people from the resistance, a bus driver, all sorts, and a chicken, actually, a few chickens.
How did the show get born?
Well, I did some research at the Mass Observation Archive in Brighton, because I've been doing research into women in World War II, and there's a fantastic archive of diaries written since 1936. And I became obsessed by one diary in particular, written by this wealthy widow who had two children, and she loved the war. She thought it was thrilling and exhilarating, and she was jealous when people had bombs in their gardens and she didn't have them in her garden. And she had servants that she was horrible about, and she used to complain that there was no tea and eggs and then go and eat caviar at the Ivy. And I just thought it was so funny. So I wanted to write a show about her, but I thought she wasn't a very likeable protagonist. So I turned her into a man, gave her a wooden leg, and the whole show is about his wife, who you never actually see, because the show is Invisible Woman, and she's brought to life by all the characters around her, hence her code name in occupied France, Invisible Woman.
So let me follow you around in secret. We'll go back into the past. How did that get written?
I read this diary, watched loads of films, read loads of books, because I'm also interested in those amazing women who work for the special operations executives and SOE. They spied for Churchill, went and flew aeroplanes. And so I had all this information in my head, bursting to get out. I got an iPad and I filmed myself talking nonsense and then wrote down the good bits.
And then take me into a rehearsal room.
My rehearsal room, I'm sitting on my sofa. Oh, actually, no, this is the writing. You want the rehearsal room. First of all, after I'd written the fifth draft, probably, I rehearsed with someone called Gerald Flanagan, who's a clown. And we did a lot of physical stuff and pared down the script. And he just brought this world to life, basically, so that when you come away from the theatre, you feel like you've seen loads of people, but it was actually, well, it was just me, actually, but it feels like you've seen everybody. It's brilliant. He's amazing. It was very intense rehearsal process and brilliant.
How do you play a bloke?
Well, it's not a problem, actually. I
changed my physical appearance somehow. I've got a wooden leg for one, and my voice is a lot gruffer, you know, like, except not with a cockney accent, with an upper class accent. You just believe I'm a man somehow. Yeah. I look like a man. I've got man's trousers and a slightly girl shirt. Somehow, and brogues, got big brogues. So somehow I sort of exude aura of man, especially with a pipe.
You're smiling as you're talking about it. So, I mean, how do you not laugh on stage?
Well, the fun thing is, actually, the funny thing, what's funny about children is that they take themselves very seriously. And so I suppose that's what I'm doing, is, and then that's funny. Although occasionally I do slightly laugh, and it's quite fun when things go a bit wrong and then I have to improvise. But yeah, I have an inner laugh. But yeah, I like to take it seriously because I think it's more funny for the audience.
And for people listening who might think about bringing a show to the Fringe, what made you decide to bring it to the Edinburgh Fringe?
Oh, I think the Edinburgh Festival is just amazing. It's like such a force of energy and enthusiasm, and then there's so many fantastic people around, and there's so many opportunities, and everyone is all embracing. You can put on anything here, and people will see it, and they will accept it. And it's a place of discovery. You'll discover other shows, people will discover you. And I've performed at the festival a couple of times in other people's plays. I've never done a one-woman show. Last year I came and saw a one-woman show that inspired me to do my one-woman show. So I think you need to just come to the festival, have a look, and just be inspired and go away and write and come back. Anyone can do it. If I can do it, anyone can do it.
And with your first show going live today, this afternoon, you're out flyering, but in that 5 minutes before you go on stage and the audience sees you, how do you kind of hit the ground running? How do you get into the zone?
A lot of breathing, and but as the audience are coming in, I've decided to be, it's a warts and all production, so I greet the audience and give them sweets as they come in, and I find that relaxes me and the audience, actually, rather than being all actory and coming on behind a curtain, you know. So that really helps. But before I even see the audience, then I have to sort of breathe and go ding-a-ling-a-ling, ching-ching, ming-a-ling, God, God, help me, and then everything's fine.
So, audience, you get sweets too. So, Kate Cook, Invisible Woman, thanks very much indeed.
Yeah, thank you.